Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at IronSharpensIronRadio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this 22nd day of June 2021. I'm thrilled to have back on the program Mark Chansky, who is an author. He's the pastor of Harbor Reformed Baptist Church of Holland, Michigan, and he's also the new coordinator of the Reformed Baptist Network. Today we are going to be addressing his latest book, Encouragement, Adrenaline for the Soul. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Mark Chansky.
Chris, thank you so much for having me again. Always a pleasure. Appreciate your insightful interviewing and thankful for your show.
Thank you, brother. It means a lot. And tell our listeners about Harbor Reformed Baptist Church of Holland, Michigan.
Oh, Harbor Reformed Baptist Church. Well, we were planted back in 1993 when we had about 10 families come from the Reformed Baptist Church of Grand Rapids, Michigan, which was the now Grace Emanuel Reformed Baptist Church. But back then we were Reformed Baptist Church of Grand Rapids. We had planted there in Grand Rapids a number of churches, one in Louisville, Kentucky, one in Minneapolis, Minnesota, one in Lethbridge, Alberta, one in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, and even a couple of others. But then we thought, let's see if we can plant a church more close by, as there were a number of people who were coming from the lakeshore near Lake Michigan. And so we decided to take 10 families as a core and went out about 45 minutes away to Holland, Michigan. There we began meeting in a gymnasium, and the Lord prospered us. We constituted in 1994. We got our own building in 1997, and we've been there now for 27 years. Just celebrated our 27th year anniversary this last Memorial Day weekend, and we can say our God, our help in ages past, is our hope for years to come. He's been so faithful to us. He's built us up and strengthened us.
Praise God. If anybody wants to find out more information about Harbor Reformed Baptist Church of Holland, Michigan, go to harborchurchholland.org. That's harborchurchholland.org. Now, let us know about this organization for which you have been just recently appointed as coordinator, the Reformed Baptist Network.
Yes, the Reformed Baptist Network really began, I would say, back in 2015, there was a group of churches, Reformed Baptists, 1689 churches, who held to the confession and had a like precious faith. And our desire was that we would constitute a fellowship of churches who would be based for the purpose of having fellowship together so we can strengthen each other, but not only just strengthen each other with fellowship, that our churches might be muscular with churches in California and Michigan and Florida and New York and Texas and beyond, but also so that we could, as churches, band together for the purpose of going on kingdom adventures and fulfilling the Great Commission. So our desire is to plant churches. Our desire is to send off missionaries. So planting churches not only domestically in the USA, but also globally all throughout the world. So we got together, and our desire was to be outward looking. Our chief verse of focus would be Habakkuk 2:14, where it says, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." That's our hope. That's our ambition. So the Reformed Baptist Network is gathered together so that we can glorify God through fellowship and cooperation in fulfilling the Great Commission to the ends of the earth. So we now have 47 churches as it snowballed from a smaller group. We began, I think it was 2017, we had our first General Assembly in Taylors, South Carolina. Mark Dever was our keynote speaker, and 26 churches gathered together. We've added churches to the point where we're 47, and we have a General Assembly coming up in Jackson, Mississippi, just in their suburbs, and Brandon, Mississippi, Grace Church of Castlewoods, and we'll be meeting there, and we hope to have over 50 churches in our fellowship. And then also we are having a number of other pastors coming in who are spying out the land, and we are very hopeful that we will be adding in the next couple, 3 years, many more churches as the Lord seems to really be prospering this fellowship of churches and this vision that we have to expand the kingdom, not simply be together and hold a common faith, but also to work together for a common commission.
Great. Well, if anybody wants more information about this organization, go to reformbaptistnetwork.com, reformbaptistnetwork.com. Now, let us begin our discussion on this book that you have written. Obviously, I think this is going to be a book that people of all walks of life, of all roles in the church, whether they are a pastor, an elder, a deacon, or just your average member of a church, encouragement seems to be something sorely lacking in the lives of many, that brings discouragement to many. Sometimes there is a very good reason for that discouragement, meaning that there is a lack of encouragement to the individual, a lack of proper encouragement. And sometimes it may be, and you and I have to admit, it may be because the person is so self-absorbed that they get easily discouraged when they are not being constantly praised. But tell us...
That's exactly right, Chris. That's exactly right. And I think that an initial response from people who are Reformed may well be, boy, why would we have a book written on encouragement? We live in this snowflake society where everybody wants to be pampered. If all could be, if you're going to write a book, why not write a book about the gospel? Why write a book about encouragement? I mean, that sounds like something that an ego-stroking, motivational speaker would address. And I really do, Chris, I understand the reaction of some who would say, man, I thought this was Chris Arnzen, iron sharpening iron. This isn't ego-stroking ego. I know there may be some people out there thinking that. I understand that. In fact, I even think of David Murray. He talks about Christians and their reluctance to give encouragement. Listen to what Murray writes, and he really understands the wavelength of concern I'm trying to express. Murray says this: "Sometimes even Reformed theology, or I should say, imbalanced Reformed theology, could deter expressions of appreciation. Affirming good works? Don't we believe in total depravity? Praising people will only make them proud. Isn't humbling people our aim? I mean, it's supposed to be solely Deo Gloria. Where does people praise enter into that picture?" Can you relate to that, Chris?
Oh, yeah. And
so I think the importance of saying, all right, it's true, all things to the glory of God, but we have Genesis to Revelation, and we need to speak and preach and teach the whole counsel of God. And this book, Encouragement, Adrenaline for the Soul, it just, as Jeff Thomas says, it mines a very important vein in the biblical revelation, and it's just gold material when we think of how the scriptures call us to be encouragers. I mean, even talking to the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the one who will say to us unworthy servants, well done, good and faithful servant. And our ministry, whether it be as a pastor or as an elder or as a father or a mother or an employer or a brother or a neighbor, if we're going to be conformed to the image of Christ, we need to be encouragers.
Amen. And I believe, though, even the name Barnabas means son of encouragement, doesn't it? That beautiful name from the scriptures?
Oh, yes, exactly. And I think, really, the main verse that I use in the book as the basis for the entirety of all the rest of the chapters, it's that passage where the apostle speaks in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And he says in verse 11, therefore, encourage one another and build up one another just as you are doing. And frankly, I'm the author of this book, and I'm not writing the book from a perspective that I'm an expert on this. No, not at all. To the contrary, I'm writing a book because I'm really encouraging and exhorting and imploring myself to be an encourager, because my default setting, the way that my personality is wired, it's not to be an encourager. I find that I can have a hawk eye for other people's defects, and I can have a bat's eye for their virtues. And
you are a Reformed Baptist, after all.
you know, it's interesting. You laugh about that, but is there something truthful in that little humorous statement that you gave? And
yes.
Again, it's David Murray. David Murray is saying the same thing. That could it be that we as Reformed people, we have great strengths, but could it also be that there are some weaknesses that is present in the Reformed community?
Sadly, without a doubt, that is true. That's why I made the joke. In fact, before we go into the main themes of your book, I'd like you to do some damage control here, lest people misunderstand what you're talking about. There seems to be two extremes in regard to this whole subject. On the one hand, you have the stereotypical Reformed Christian, who may be more prone, as you just said, to pick out the splinters from his brother's eyes before he even removes the beams from his own. And on the other extreme, you have the whole self-esteem movement.
Oh, yeah.
The whole movement that seems to, if it wouldn't say it directly in the words that I'm about to say, a denial of total depravity. But even if it doesn't say that, or they that are proponents of the self-esteem movement, even if they don't say that, they are practically bordering on a Pelagius understanding of being born innocent, being born without a sin nature, and basically the king of this, at least in the 20th century, was Robert Schuller, and of course before him Norman Vincent Peale. But this whole idea of building up the self-esteem of those around you, being basically the most important thing, it seems, you could do. In fact, Robert Schuller had even written that the biggest mistake that Christians make is to point out the sin in others, which is obviously not only ridiculous, but seriously heretical. But we have to avoid both of those extremes, don't we?
Oh, absolutely we do. And I think of the proverb that says, profuse are the kisses of an enemy. And I think it's true. We should be able to, like the prodigal father, Luke 15, running to his son, hanging on his neck, giving him kisses. We should be able to do that. And even to say, like the Heavenly Father says to the Lord Jesus, to his son, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. But profuse are the kisses of an enemy, the proverb says, but faithful are the blows of a friend. And if we're going to be a real friend, a real father, a real pastor, a real brother, a real neighbor, we're going to be willing to deliver the blows of a friend. In fact, listen to this little vignette that is actually in the book. Listen to what it says here. Paul Washer, you know who Paul Washer is?
Oh, yes, I've had the privilege of interviewing him, and he wrote a wonderful, glowing commendation for this program.
Yes, yes, and listen to this here. Paul Washer is anything but an ego-stroking motivational speaker.
That's certainly true.
He's a straight-talking preacher of God's Word, but in a recorded 2017 sermon, he tells of having recently listened to a famous and notoriously misguided motivational speaker. Now listen to this, Chris. He says, this is Washer himself saying this. I was very convicted listening to this speaker. Just let that sink in for a moment. It was audible laughter because the speaker was Joel Osteen. but listen to what Washer goes on to say this. He says, I do believe that the things he was saying were out of context and wrong. Where I was greatly rebuked was this. He was greatly encouraging all with all his heart. But I asked myself, this is Washer now. He said, how encouraging am I? And I thought about how it is that such a blessing comes to me when someone comes up to me and encourages me and says, man, you're doing well. Man, that was great. Man, you're progressing. How it just jumpstarts me. And I found out that just jumpstarts everyone else. This is Washer now saying this. I just don't think by and large as God's people, at least for myself, Paul Washer was saying, I don't do that enough. Wow, brother, sister, that was amazing. I'm so proud of God's grace in you. Keep going. Press on. Go on. That's Washer saying, I need to add this dimension of encouragement to my ministry if I'm really going to echo the biblical whole counsel of God.
Praise God. And isn't there a danger, not only of what I mentioned earlier, the whole self-esteem movement and so on, but in the common speech of Christians, when we are having private conversations, especially with folks, the sin of flattery, a lot of people misuse that term. You know, you give them a compliment and they'll say, oh, thank you for such wonderful flattery. Well, flattery isn't a good thing. Flattery is when you exaggerate the truth or actually downright lie about something in a positive way in order to get some kind of gain out of telling that person something that builds up their confidence and self-esteem and so on. But the sin of really laying it on thick with people, heaping compliments on them that you really don't believe, things that aren't even accurate about this person's life, skills, talents, abilities, and their character, isn't that just downright wrong and sinful?
You mean to flatter someone? Oh, yes, absolutely. I think that the writer of Proverbs speaks about he who flatters lays a net for the feet of his subject, trying to trip him up. And I think there is a legitimate concern that we not be flatterers. But you know what? Anything that is good can be misused. I mean, take spanking. We find that spanking could degenerate into abuse, couldn't it? So do we throw out spanking? No. Just because something is abusable doesn't mean it's disposable. Likewise, when we think of encouragement, encouragement could degenerate into flattery, but do we dispose of encouragement because it could become abusive? No. Simply because something is abusable doesn't mean it's disposable.
Now, you have an excellent title in your book for your first chapter, The Exhilaration of Encouragement. I can wholeheartedly echo the fact that encouragement is quite exhilarating. I was just over 2 days last week. I was in Texas. I was in Denton, Texas, at Denton Bible Church, and I was manning an exhibitor's booth for Iron Sharp and Zion Radio at the Wokeness and the Gospel Conference. That was being.
I wish I would have been there.
I'm sorry?
I wish I would have been there. Yeah. It sounds rich.
Oh, that was a phenomenal conference. Absolutely extraordinary. And I can't tell you what a blessing it was to me sitting there at my booth and having so many people. I would guess to say that there were over 100 that approached my booth. Keep in mind there were 1,600 or more people there, but at least 100 people approached my booth, many of them heaping compliments on me that I believe were heartfelt. I don't think that somebody would approach a stranger like me that they have never met in person before and go out of their way to heap their compliments on me if they didn't mean them. And they were telling me how much Iron Sharpens Iron Radio meant to them, meant to their faith, their walk with Christ. And it was just so exhilarating. It was humbling. And at one point, I really got choked up. But it was also exhilarating. It was invigorating. And it gave me a new drive to continue hosting this program. And I knew that most of these folks actually did listen to the show, because most of them said something that only a listener would know. I have been making public prayer requests for my brother, my oldest brother, who lives 20 minutes from Denton, Texas. He has cancer. He has critical stage emphysema and an inoperable aneurysm, and he does not know the Lord. And he is 76 years old, and that concerns me a great deal, obviously. And one after another, people are coming up to me saying, "How's your brother doing?" Which made me know they listened to the show.
Yes, and Chris, it was like adrenaline. You were down to the count. It was like smelling salts. You wondered if what you were doing in the radio program had any use at all, and it really brightened your eyes. In fact, I open up the book with the account of a guy named Jerry Kramer, who was a football player back in the days of Vince Lombardi. And Jerry Kramer was an offensive lineman, and he was at the first practice at the beginning of the season, and he was doing everything wrong, Chris. He was going off sides, he was missing his blocks, he was slow to his assignments, and the coaches were yelling at him. And Jerry Kramer basically crawled back to the locker room after the practice. In fact, Lombardi had actually scolded him and saying, if the attention span of a 2-year-old is 20 seconds and the attention span of a 5-year-old is 1 minute, he says, what does that say about you, Kramer? And Kramer was just humiliated. Went back to the locker room, was sitting in front of his locker with his face in his hands, wondering if he should quit football right there or wait till the end of the season. And in walks Vince Lombardi. And Lombardi saw the locker room, saw the sense of despair, sized it all up, and he walked over to Kramer, and he took his hand, and he messed up Kramer's sweaty hair. And he pointed his finger at him and says, Kramer, one day you're going to be one of the greatest linemen in football history. And Lombardi walked out. And that was it.
Wow.
And Kramer, I heard Kramer testifying, just a few years ago on a radio program. Kramer said, at that point, Lombardi breathed life into my football dead soul. And he said, from that point on, he says, I became a changed man. He changed from being a down-for-the-count weakling to a Hulk. And Kramer went on, if you know the history, he went on to be a starter for Green Bay. He anchored their offensive line. He led them to multiple football championships. He threw the block against Jethro Pugh, the 6'7" Dallas Cowboy that opened up a hole so Bart Starr could get in to win the championship. And Kramer says, at this point, he said, what made the difference in my life was an encouraging word at a timely moment from Vince Lombardi. What I'm saying is, spiritually speaking, we have brothers and sisters who are sitting in front of their locker of life, ready to quit. And we can give timely words that can change them from being weakling to Hulk. We have that power. The Word of God says, in the tongue is the power of life or death. It's a powerful thing, this tongue. We ought to use it well.
And now we've got to go to our first break. If anybody wants to ask a question of Pastor Mark Chansky, you could send it right in to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence. If you live outside the USA, only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Mark Chansky right after these messages from our sponsors.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. My friend Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are headed down to Atlanta, Georgia once again for the G3 Conference. This year's G3 will be held Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be joined by over 20 other speakers and musicians to lead in the worship of God through preaching, teaching, and singing, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Conrad Mbewe, Daryl Bernard Harrison, and Virgil Walker. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G321. This is James White reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawson, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hail the power of Jesus' name. is Pastor Bill Sasso of Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how He shall be worshipped and how He shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody's ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please, folks, never forget how vital, how extremely necessary the sponsorship of solid-ground-books.com is to the existence of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Please visit that website frequently and purchase generously. It will help Iron Sharpens Iron Radio remain on the air. But don't ever get the wrong idea that you're just doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by purchasing books from them, or doing us a favor by keeping an important advertiser happy. You're going to be doing yourself an enormous favor of incalculable value by purchasing books from solid-ground-books.com, and anyone for whom you are purchasing gifts from solid-ground-books.com, because they bring back into print and publish the finest in Christian literature, and that is no exaggeration, it is no hyperbole or flattery. They bring back into print and publish the finest in Christian literature from the past and the present, going all the way back to the Protestant Reformation to our current day, with authors such as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. That's solid-ground-books.com. Always mention that you heard about them from Chris Aronson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We are back now with Pastor Mark Chansky of Harbor Reformed Baptist Church of Holland, Michigan, and the Reformed Baptist Network, to discuss his book, Encouragement, Adrenaline for the Soul. And we are so thrilled to have him back. He is one of my favorite guests to have on this program. I don't know if you have completed what you want to say at this time about the exhilaration of encouragement, but if you could summarize anything else.
Yeah, Chris, I think of exhilaration for encouragement. I don't know. I used to be a sprinter back in the day, and I would get in the blocks, and I would be waiting for that gun to go off for me to run the 100 or the 200. And I tell you what, that adrenaline surge that rips through the body, it just makes you to be energized and enables you to accomplish great feats. And that's why I use that analogy of encouragement, like a shot of adrenaline to the soul. When a guy, there's a guy in our church who had eaten some nuts and he was in anaphylactic shock and he was not able to breathe, but they gave him an EpiPen, which is epinephrine, which is adrenaline. It brought him back to life. It gave him that strength and surge of energy. Yeah, that's what encouragement does. In fact, you even quoted Charles Spurgeon in the advertisement just prior to my coming back. Now, Spurgeon is not a motivational speaker. He's a biblical teacher. But listen to this quote from Spurgeon. He says this: "It does people good to be told how highly we value them. There is many a Christian man and woman who would do better if now and then someone would speak a kindly word to them and let them know that they had done well." And I think there are people in my congregation, there are people in my neighborhood who are basically in an anaphylactic shock state. And like that proverb says, in the power of the tongue is life and death. And for me to be able to bring a word of encouragement, I can just say myself how there was a time when I was kind of like a boxer who was down for the count on the canvas, and a lady from my church called me up on a Monday morning, and just very brief conversation, she just said, "Hey, Pastor, I want you to know that Mrs. So-and-so just called me and told me that her husband heard your sermon last night, and that husband went into his room and spent about a half an hour alone, and he came out and he said, honey, to his wife, that sermon has just made a difference in my life, and God has done a good work in my life." And just that woman's calling me and telling me that, man, it was like smelling salts to me, Chris. It enabled me to get up off the mat and to fight a good fight again. And I even think of how it says in Proverbs 3:27, it says, "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power of your hand to do so." Even James 4:17 says, "To him who knows the good thing to do and doesn't do it, to him it is sin." And there are people in our lives who, if we would just speak a kind word of encouragement, a well done, good and faithful servant, it can be life-changing. Again, like an EpiPen to somebody who's unable to breathe barely.
Well, you go on to say that this is not only a wonderful thing to do, a good thing to do, a blessing to others to do, this act of encouragement. It's also, according to your book, an obligation. Tell us about that.
Well, yeah, an obligation in the sense of, you know, there are sins of commission, which would be to speak a harsh word, you know, like it says in the proverb, there is one who speaks like the thrust of the sword. We can sin against people with acts of commission by harming them with cruel words. You know, we say sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Yeah, words can hurt. But also there's sins of omission, like I quoted from James, where it says, "To him who knows the good thing to do and doesn't do it, to him it is sin." So when I see someone who is discouraged, an act of omission is, I don't give that encouraging word, I am sin. Matthew 11:28, people are weary and heavy laden. And for me to be able to give an encouraging word to them, I mean, obviously the ultimate encouragement is the gospel, but along the way we see how it is important that we be givers of encouragement. I even think of, let's take 1 Corinthians, let's take Romans 16. It's interesting how there's this beautiful finale to the book, and he's giving a greeting, Paul is, to people in the church of Rome. Just listen to this. And he's not flattering these people. He's sincerely encouraging them by giving a good word to them, brightening their eyes. He says, "I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a servant of the church of Kenchrea, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints. For indeed, she has been a helper of many and of myself also." So you imagine Phoebe sitting in the congregation there, and she hears her name mentioned publicly, and that she is a servant of great use in the kingdom. Or, listen to this, it says this, a couple of verses later, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus," who, listen to this now, Chris, "who risked their own necks for my life, to whom I not only give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks." Now, we realize that Priscilla and Aquila could have had puffed up by this, but Paul wasn't concerned about that. He was commending them. He was giving those words of encouragement, or even how, "Greet Rufus, a choice man in the Lord." And so, all over the Apostle Paul's correspondence, we see encouragement. But I think, like you mentioned earlier on, in Acts chapter 9, it was Barnabas, son of encouragement. Barnabas is the one who, when Paul came back from Damascus, having had a nightmare first mission experience up in Damascus, where they had to let him out of the city in a laundry basket because there was a conspiracy to martyr him. Paul comes back, and he's like a deer in the headlights. And even the Jerusalem church wouldn't receive him. Barnabas comes alongside and tells the church the heroic things Paul had done in Damascus. And they warmly received him. That was the EpiPen to a man who was spiritually down for the count. I think Paul learned lessons from Barnabas that affected the rest of his ministry for decades to come. He was an encourager.
Now, I have heard by some who are, teachers in different fields, that might be a music teacher or a teacher of nearly anything, or a coach, that to compliment someone, especially too often, can actually stunt their growth. I just saw recently an interview with a Japanese baseball player, Shohei Ohtani. He has earned the nickname Showtime. And this guy's quite a marvel. He has 102 mile per hour fastball. And he said that his coach never complimented him except for one time after a World Series win. And after the game, he just said simply, good pitching today, or something like that. And the coach affirmed that. In fact, the coach himself said that he always knew he could be better than what he was, whatever stage of his growth and his skill was at. He knew he could be even better, so he did not want to compliment him because he thought that would make him lazy, etc. How much truth is there in that, and how much of that is misplaced and false?
Well, I think there's something to that, Chris. You know, the proverb says this, eat honey, my son, but eat only what you need, lest you have it in excess and vomit it. Honey is a good thing. I mean, look at the life of Jonathan. There he was, out fighting the battle in the heat of the day, and he was fainting. How he found honey, and he took his spear handle, and he stuck it in the honey, and what does it say? It says it brightened his eyes. So honey is really good when it's tactfully and strategically taken. It brightens the eyes. Now, that good thing can be overdone, right? You can OD on honey, and it can be harmful to you. Eat honey, my son, but eat only what you need, lest you have it in excess and vomit it. And that's right. If we are only exclusively encouraging and never are directly confronting and exhorting, then we're not giving a good, healthy diet. I can really relate to this myself. I think of, I'm a father, and I have four sons, and it was my great desire that my sons would be like the good servant who was faithful. He didn't bury his talents like the guy who had one talent, but like the guy who had two and the guy who had five talents, they went off and invested them. And I would try to drive and spur my sons on. But let's say that one of my sons came home with a report card that had three B's and three C's, and I thought that they could get all A's. And I talk to him, and I reprimand him. And he comes back the next time, and he's got three B's and three A's. Now, he's really improved, hasn't he? But I think he should have six A's. If I say nothing, I think I'm unwise, because I think, well, he'll just stall out and stagnate, right? He'll be settling for the mediocre. But there's an interesting story that I read long ago. It was about a gentleman who went out to his front yard. Remember what a newspaper was, Chris?
I delivered them from the age of 12 to 17.
So did I. I basically did the same. Well, the newspaper had been tossed out onto his driveway, and it was a little dog who came and brought the newspaper to his front porch. And he thought, oh, look, this little dog is helping me. I'll pat him on the head. So he gave him a little treat. and the dog went away. Well, the next morning he came back, and there were 6 newspapers on his front stoop. And the point was, the dog didn't stagnate. The dog was urged on to do more. And likewise, I think I'm wise. If my son makes a distinct uptick in his GPA, for me to commend him. And I've even watched 2 of my children ran cross country. And if you're a cross country coach and one runner is running a 19 minute 5 kilometer and you're convinced he could run a 17. So he runs from 19 down to 18. If you're stone quiet, you're no Lombardi to him. You're Lombardi. The child, the runner that hears, "Well done! You really helped the team by going from 18 down to from 19 down to 18. That's the best way to get him to 17, by giving commendation in a godly way. And I think that's what the Apostle Paul does when he brings commendation. He's talking to the Corinthians, and all throughout the letter to the Corinthians, Paul says that he boasts of the Corinthians to the other churches in Asia Minor and Macedonia. Why would you boast of those Corinthians, who were obviously a church that was a piece of work, that still had problems? But he told the Corinthians, "I boast of you," because he knew that that would be adrenaline driving them to further heights of maturity.
So you're basically saying that the coach of the Nippon Ham Fighters, where Shohei Ohtani had his start in baseball, he's with the Los Angeles Angels now, but his Japanese coach was wrong for his method, even though it appeared from the outside to work. It may be that Shohei achieved such great heights in his skill in spite of the way his coach behaved.
Well, I'm just saying, I want my ministry, I want my fatherhood, I want my personality to not image a Japanese baseball coach. I want to image the Lord Jesus. Look at the Lord Jesus. Amen. There he is in the upper room. Okay, here's the Lord Jesus up in the upper room. And his disciples, they've just heard that the Lord Jesus says that he is going to, on the morrow, be handed over, and he is going to die, and 3 days he'll rise again, and he's going to love them to the end, referring to his crucifixion that's upcoming. And they're all staring at each other, not fully aware of what Jesus is going to do, but John 13 is going to love them to the end, and he washes their feet. And what do they do after that? They begin to argue, the text says, about which one of them is the greatest. You talk about people who deserved a tongue lashing. But it's amazing how the Lord Jesus Christ responds to them in the upper room, realizing that they have a marathon race that they have to run in the next 24, 48, 72 hours. And the Lord Jesus says to them, "You are those who have stood by me." He commends them for the way they have stood alongside him in the 3 years of ministry, because he knew they needed the adrenaline of that encouragement to get them through the obstacle course of temptation they would need to run in the next 72 hours before he rose from the dead.
Well, we have to go to our midway break right now, and please be patient with us. It's a bit longer than the other breaks in the show, because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show, because they are required of the FCC to air their own public service announcements and other local things to geographically localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to Lake City, Florida. And while they do that, we air our globally heard commercials. So please use this time wisely. Write down as much of the information as you can for as many of our advertisers as you can, so that our advertisers will remain pleased that they are getting responses from our listeners, whether you are patronizing them by buying their products, using their services, visiting their churches, financially supporting their parachurch organizations, or if you can't do any of those, please just respond at the very least to thank them for sponsoring this program and keeping it on the air. That will go a long way. But also, write down questions for Mark Chansky on encouragement and send them to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Hello, dear ones. My name is Justin Peters, and my friend Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are frequently blessed to share great times of fellowship with one another at conferences all over the United States. We'll both be enjoying more fellowship together at the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October the 2nd, on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be speaking there along with over 20 other speakers, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Vodi Balcom, Joel Beakey, and James White. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Please join Chris Arnzen and me September 30th through October the 2nd at G3 2021. This is Justin Peters reminding you that Christ is supreme over all. Fellowshipping with the
family. Anchored in Truth Ministries is the mission arm of Grace Life Church of the Shoals. Based in Alabama, it supports missionaries in over 13 countries around the world. Anchored in Truth is in partnership with 36 church plants, as well as radio stations, theological seminaries, and various programs for unreached people groups. With an aim to glorify God and reach the nations with the gospel, it is a blessing to see how God has used Anchored in Truth in so many different contexts globally as well as locally. To find out more about this vital work worldwide, visit anchoredintruth.org.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
Today at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ.
In fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnson is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen, and if you just tuned us in, our guest for the entire program today is Mark Chansky, pastor of Harbor Reformed Baptist Church of Holland, Michigan. We are discussing his new book, Encouragement, Adrenaline for the Soul. Before we return to that discussion, I have a couple of announcements I need to make. First of all, I hope you tune in tomorrow, Wednesday the 23rd of June, to hear our interview with Reformed Anglican Roger Salter, always a remarkable guest. I love interviewing Roger, a dear friend, and a man with the true heart of a shepherd. And then on the 24th, Thursday, We have Dr. Joe Moorcraft returning to our program. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia. He's an author and also has written a commentary on the Westminster Larger Catechism, and we will be interviewing him again. Then on Friday, we have David Engelsma, who is the author of a new commentary, a two-volume commentary on the Belgic Confession, and we are going to be having our third interview on that great confession on Friday, the 25th. Also, folks, if you love this show and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion, or if you prefer snail mail, sending in checks the old-fashioned way through the post office, an address, a physical address, will also appear on the screen when you click support on ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail checks made payable to Iron Sharp and Zion Radio. Also, if you want to advertise with us, we surely could use your advertising dollars as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe. You don't have to believe identically with me, but you need to be promoting something that is at the very least compatible with what I believe. Send in an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. I will help you launch an ad campaign as quickly as possible because we are in urgent need of your advertising dollars. Also, folks, last but not least, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church, no matter where on the planet Earth you live, I may be able to help you find a church, as I have for many in our audience spanning the globe. I've helped them find churches that they didn't even know existed in all parts of the world, sometimes within minutes from their own home, or sometimes they were passing these churches every day, but they just didn't know that they were theologically sound. Well, I can help you find a church, possibly. I have extensive lists of biblically faithful churches all over the globe. So wherever you live, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. I need a church in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Mark Chansky. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. We are discussing encouragement, adrenaline for the soul. One thing I forgot to mention, as I try to remember every day to mention, if you are a member of a Bible-believing church already, please don't siphon money away from your regular giving to your own local church where you are a member in order to give to Iron Sharp and Zion Radio. Please never do that. I don't want the local church to be in any way hurt by people giving to Iron Sharp and Zion Radio. In other words, don't punish your own church financially by blessing us financially. And also, please don't put your family in financial peril and jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharp and Zion Radio if you are really struggling to make ends meet right now. Those two things are commands of God in Scripture, providing for your church and your family. Providing for my radio show is not a command of God, obviously. But if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands and you really love the show, please give to us frequently and generously. If you have extra money collecting interest, you have extra money for recreational and trivial purposes, please share some of that money with us if you love this show and don't want us to disappear. And once again, the website is ironsharpensironradio.com. Click support, then click to donate now. We have a listener with a question for you, Pastor Mark. Grady in Asheboro, North Carolina. A very faithful listener to Iron Sharp and Zion Radio and very generous supporter of this program. Greeting, brothers. All through the New Testament, we see where we're told to encourage others, but also in the Old Testament, we see Jethro encouraging Moses, Jonathan encouraging David, and other examples. I personally believe in this day and age, we definitely need to be encouraging others. Do you agree that we need to do that more than ever? Well, I have a feeling the answer is yes. Pastor Mark?
Yeah, I think just in reading through our Bibles, we find ourselves falling short of this high standard of our being encouragers. Again, like I said, I think of the last day when Matthew 25, the Lord Jesus is going to say to unworthy servants like us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I think we need to be people who image the character of our Heavenly Father and our glorious Savior, and even the Holy Spirit is the encourager, isn't he? So for us to be that to one another, like the whole Trinity. When I speak of encouragement, just very practically express what I mean by that, I mean to be able to give, well, firstly, it would be the giving of the gospel. In fact, let me make sure that we save about at least 4 or 5 minutes for the end so I can give the ultimate encouragement, which is the gospel. But there are other subsidiary important encouragements that in daily life we need to give. I talked about commendation, like Paul commends Phoebe, who is a servant in the church of Cenchrea, or I mentioned that boasting, like Paul boasts in the Corinthians, as he says, "Great is my boldness in speech and boasting about you," he says. Yeah, even to the broken church of Corinth. Or even the idea of giving a report about someone. I think of that passage in Philippians 2 where Paul is speaking of Epaphroditus. He speaks of he is your fellow soldier. It says that you were distressed because you heard that Epaphroditus was sick. Indeed, he was sick. He almost died, Paul says. He says this about Epaphroditus, who had been sent to Rome to seek out and help Paul on the basis of the church in Philippi sending him out. He says this, "Hold such men like Epaphroditus in high esteem because of the work of Christ. He came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what is lacking in your service toward me." And that's an example to us how we need to be people who aren't silent about the kingdom accomplishments of others. If I'm on a Sunday morning, like I did a few weeks ago, I came to the church, and it was obvious that on Saturday, a number of people had been busy manicuring the lawn, planting new flowers, putting down wood chips. It was a magnificent masterpiece out in our front yard, Chris. So for me to stand up and say, "Eric and Rachel and Nancy, who labored, let's thank God for what they've done. Brothers and sisters, thank you for your taking your whole Saturday and crimping this building for the sake of Christ and his kingdom." If we don't do that, we're not echoing the biblical call to being encouragers. Or even, how about even something like using people's names, remembering them? Have you ever known of people, Chris, who they know who you are, but they never seem to remember your name? I have that. I know they can't remember my name.
And in fact, I'm guilty of not remembering people's names constantly.
Yes, you know, it's really a labor of love when we remember someone's name and we speak someone's name. There's just something about it when people speak our name. Even think of, well, look at the Old Testament and how you consider David's mighty men in 2 Samuel 23. All 37 of David's mighty men, those names are all written down in the roster of the mighty men. This wasn't a waste of Old Testament ink. Just like when it speaks about the building of the wall in the days of Nehemiah, in the third chapter there are 80 names given for the persons who were working on the wall, shoulder to shoulder to shoulder, the captains at every area. The names are given. The reason those names are given was because we realize that the healthy prospects of name recognition inspired work performance and noble fighting among David's mighty men, among Nehemiah's workers. So we should be speaking names. I mean, look at the Lord Jesus and his ministry. He looks up into a tree, and what does he say to that guy up in the tree? "Zacchaeus, come down. He knows my name." Or even think of how on resurrection morning in John 20, Mary is crying, and Jesus says to her, thinking the man was the gardener, Jesus says, "Mary." Or even think of Peter in Mark 16. The angel says, "Go tell the disciples, and Peter to go meet me in Galilee. Imagine Peter, who had three times denied the Lord Jesus, and he hears the report that Jesus has risen from the dead, and he says to the women, say it again, did he actually speak my name, Peter? You see, the speaking of our name was characteristic of the Lord Jesus and his ministry, and I think in our ministry too, when we remember the names of people, like a visitor who came once, and he comes back again, and you remember his name, that can be life-changing for relationship and for an individual. Even Tim Keller tells this really interesting account of how he had visited and met Professor Clowney from Westminster. And 2 years later, he saw Clowney again. And Keller, who was kind of insecure at this time, and he wasn't into ministry at all, but he said, Professor Clowney, you won't know my name, but I met you 2 years ago. And Clowney said to him, I know your name. You're Tim Keller. And Keller said, he spoke my name. He remembered my name. He actually remembered my name. Again, like smelling salts to him. And I think we should be willing to encourage people by remembering their name. Or how about even by cheering someone on? You think of Nehemiah there on the wall as they're building. He says to his fellow builders, don't be afraid of Tobiah and Sanballat. Remember the Lord, great and awesome. Fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your house is just cheering people on. I know of men who may be men of not a five-talent man, maybe a two-talent man, but a cheering-on wife who is a cheerleader, a helpmate, giving adrenaline to him. This causes the man to be a four-talent man, far beyond what others might expect he could accomplish because he has a commending, an encouraging, a cheering-on wife.
Amen. And going back to the remembering of names, the most vivid picture of that I can remember right now anyway in my own life was when I was standing in the funeral parlor at age 30 after the death of my precious mother. And I was standing there, and in walks a nun who was a teacher of mine before I was saved. I was a Roman Catholic. I went to elementary school in the Catholic parochial system for 8 years. And I hadn't seen this teacher for 16 years. This elderly nun walks into the funeral parlor, Sister Cora Marie, and she sees me, and the first words out of her mouth were, Christopher, it's so good to see you. And I said to her, you remember who I am? The last time you saw me, I was a scrawny, skinny, tiny little 14-year-old boy, and you remember me. I just can't believe it. And it was very encouraging to me. I don't know where that dear lady is now. She's likely departed this earth. I hope that she embraced the gospel. But what a sweet nun she was. But as far as marriage is concerned, another vivid story that comes to mind was when a boss of mine, unbelievably, in front of the entire office, started to parade a young secretary around in front of his wife, who was standing there. And he said to his wife in front of everyone, his wife, by the way, was drop-dead gorgeous. And he said to his wife, you see this figure on this girl? That's what a figure is. And after his wife left, I said to my boss, I took a great risk of being fired, but I said to my boss, can I see you in your office for a second? He said, sure, come on in. I went into his office and I said, are you out of your mind? I said, God has blessed you with a breathtakingly beautiful wife, and you dare disgrace her in front of your employees, embarrass her, humiliate her in that way? I said, are you insane? I said, I'll tell you one thing. She's going to start recognizing the compliments of men, of other men, if you don't change your attitude and start treating her with respect and giving her the encouragement.
Oh, yeah,
to it. Yes, exactly. And I even think of the call of husbands in marriage, like you say, we're to love our brides as Christ loved the church. And it says, as one loves one own body, for he who loves his wife loves himself. And there's a Hodge comments on that passage, and he talks about how, you know, every one of us have a body that's not perfect. It's not the best body ever. I mean, boy, if we had visuals here, you'd see I got this big nose on my face, Chris. And but it's my nose! And it's my body! And I take care of it just naturally and distinctly. I even pamper my body in that sense of I feed my body every day, I get it rest every day. Well, likewise, we're called upon to love our wives who are certainly imperfect, just as we are husbands who are imperfect. They even think of the Song of Solomon and how the example that is given in marital love where he says he's seeking to find things in her that he can commend, not looking for things he can criticize. See, that's my default setting, Chris, and my wife will tell you that I can criticize imperfections, but I think the type of Christ kind of a husband in Song of Solomon says, behold, 1:15, it says, you are fair, my love. Behold, you are fair. You have dove's eyes. Even it's interesting how in the fourth chapter, Solomon says of his bride, your teeth are like a flock of shorn sheep which have come upon from the washing. Every one of them, and listen, wait, Chris, wait. The best part comes now. Every one of them which bears their twins, none is barren among them. See, Solomon is basking in the fact that his beautiful bride still has all her teeth, which was a stunning feature 3,000 years ago. The point is, Solomon is ever scanning her life for things that are worthy of his appreciation, and then he verbally expresses what it is that delights him. And that's the kind of that's the kind of husbanding that we should engage in. And I learned a lesson, Chris. You talk about someone dying in a funeral. My dad died exactly 20 years ago, and I still remember when he died, and I was struck with how brief life is, just a vapor. I remember waking up with a dagger in my heart because my dad was gone, and it was the middle of the night, like 3 a.m. I looked over. There was my dear bride who was sleeping there, my bride that I can argue with and criticize. And I just thought to myself, really, Mark? Life is so short, and she could be gone tomorrow. Are we going to spend this brief time with my circling around what I perceive to be her imperfections and then confront her about them? Or isn't it true that we need to be able to, Mark, let some things go, let it go, be able to find things, scan her life for things to commend instead of scanning her life for things to criticize? So it's huge that husbands would be encouragers if we're going to love our wives as Christ loved the church. Think of Christ. He is going to look upon his church and speak of her beauty, her dazzling robes, her glorious righteousness, and overlook sins in her life. That's how we're to love our brides as husbands.
In fact, we have to go to our final break right now. It's going to be much more brief than our other breaks. If you intend to send in a question, we do have a few people already waiting online to have their questions asked and answered, but if you want to join them and get in line, please send in your question immediately because we are rapidly running out of time. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please, as always, provide your very first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors. Back together again, yeah. Back
together again, yeah. Hi, I'm Phil Johnson, host and executive director of Grace to You, the media ministry of John MacArthur. I hope you plan to join me and Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, for the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd. The theme this year is Christ is supreme over all. My friend Chris Arnzen and I will be joined by several of our other friends, including Vody Balcom, Justin Peters, Daryl Bernard Harrison, Virgil Walker, and James White. More than 20 other speakers will be joining us, and the lineup this year includes my pastor, John MacArthur. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G3 2021. This is Phil Johnson reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Iron Works, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church of Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com, that's nasbible.com, to place your order.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest for the entire program has been and will continue to be Mark Chansky, pastor of Harbor Reformed Baptist Church of Holland, Michigan, and coordinator of the Reformed Baptist Network. We are addressing his book, Encouragement, Adrenaline for the Soul. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And if you're asking a question, please give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Cindy in Findlay, Ohio asks, "Pastor Chansky, what is your default compliment when you sincerely want to encourage someone but can't think of anything at the moment? I'm sure that problem comes up a lot of times when people are talking with me." But anything to say, Pastor Chansky?
Well, I think in the finale of the time together, I do want to bring the gospel. I think gospel is the ultimate encouragement. The gospel is also the default encouragement to hell-deserving sinners. I mean, in reality, we're all bound toward an eternal depression in outer darkness. And the deepest taproots of our discouragement have to do with our needing reconciliation and fellowship with the living God. So I would say the gospel and the hope of the gospel, I think that's the ultimate default encouragement. Let me, if I might, Chris, just touch bases. As we talked about husbanding, I don't want to just focus on one gender. I know you have women. Even the young lady from Findlay, Ohio is a lady. So I talked about husbanding and being encouragers. Let me also talk about just wifing and being encouragers. And I think of how important that is. You think of how it says in Genesis 2, it's not good that man would be alone. And he gave her, gave to the man a helper suitable, which was the woman. The Hebrew word is etzer, which means a strengthener. And that's really important that women would see themselves to be strengtheners of their husband. Martha Peace, she says herself, it's interesting how women can encourage other women to be encouragers. She says this, "My husband needs me as his helpmate. He doesn't need my sarcastic put-downs. He needs my helpful suggestions." So even a godly woman like Martha Peace is saying that she can have a tendency, it speaks of in the Proverbs even four times about a contentious woman, a continual dripping. Martha says that's kind of what she struggles with. And just consider how important it is that men, they need a reviving corner in the fight of life. You've seen boxers, Chris, they get pummeled in the ring, but then at the round's end, they can kind of retreat to their corner for reinvigorating encouragement, refreshment. And you ever hear the exhausted boxer hearing things like, okay, you took some hits, but you also delivered some good ones too. You're the man. You have what it takes to get out there and take down that Goliath. Well, that's the kind of a strengthening corner that husbands need in the fight of life, giving the encouragement of adrenaline and not the kryptonite of chronic criticism. And that's what can sometimes happen in the lives of some men. Laura Schlesinger, kind of a blast from the past, but she wrote an interesting book. It's called The Proper Care and beating of husbands. And it grew out of her receiving all kinds of emails and correspondence from thousands of women. And she has a chapter in that book, Chris. It's called "You're a Nag." It's interesting because there are women encouraging other women in this book about the proper care and feeding of husbands. And Schlesinger writes this. She says, "The universal complaint of men who emailed my website with their opinions about the proper care and feeding of husbands was that their wives criticize, complain, nag, rarely compliment, or express appreciation, are difficult to satisfy, and basically not as nice to them as they'd be to a stranger ringing the doorbell at 3 a.m. And Dr. Lohr just goes on to say, ladies, we can't do this to our husbands. We can't be the kryptonite corner. You know, Superman was taken down by kryptonite. And it can be a criticizing, like I said, as a criticizing husband, I was weakening my wife. But a criticizing wife can be kryptonite to a husband who otherwise could be a really mighty man of God. So for women to look at their husbands who are not perfect, if they're like me, they can be blockheads. My wife can tell you that. But to be able to find things that are beneficial, man, it's true that a woman who is an encourager in the life of a man who is a helpmate, you know, it was Eve who got the song out of Adam. Adam hadn't spoken, scripturally speaking, until we get that Hebrew poetry, which is really song, where he says, "This is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." It's the woman who gets a song out of a man. But sadly, I think some men live and die and go to the grave, and they never sang. A lot of it can be because their wives weren't helpers to them. And I just encourage you, wives, you're kingmakers, ladies. You are kingmakers. And I even know myself, when my wife gives me a well-deserved encouraging word and commendation, it can make me, again, from being a weakling into being a Hulk when my wife, who knows me best, is willing to commend me.
Praise God. We have an anonymous listener who says, "I have recently broke the ice with someone with whom I have had great conflict, and our relationship was on the brink of utter irreversible disaster. But I began praying for ways to compliment this person that were true. And I started to address this person, reminding him of the blessings that God had given him in his life through his gifts and talents in certain areas, and the wonderful and highly praiseable elements of his character. And this was used by God to begin the mending process. Is this something that you also personally recommend to those that are having conflict with others in their lives? And of course, never through flattery or exaggerated compliments."
Yeah, I agree completely, Chris. I just think of how we're called on in Romans chapter 12. As far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. And then it speaks of our blessing even our enemies, and the idea of our being able to heap burning coals upon someone's head by words of kindness. Kindness. There was a Puritan who said of him that the best way to make this Puritan your friend was to criticize him, because he would come to you and draw near to you and love you and express affection for you. And I think, yes, like it says in the Proverbs, the tongue has the power of life and death, and for us to be life-giving in the way that we speak to each other. In fact, I even think of, for me, the issue of fathering has been huge, because it was when my children got into their later teens when I realized that I needed to transition away from being the micromanager when they were young, who dictated to them and, yeah, criticized things that they did. But now for me to work toward a relationship where I'm letting go of the reins and I'm beginning to treat them more as an adult to adult, which required more commending. This is really important. How even Ephesians 6 says, fathers,
don't provoke your children to wrath. Or Colossians 3, fathers, don't exasperate your children that they may lose heart. If we're constantly criticizing, we can have a real corrosive relationship with our children. I'm so thankful that the Lord enabled me to see things in a clear way so that I could have a wholesome relationship. I can even remember back when I was in my mid-teens, I used to work in a golf pro shop in kind of an elite country club setting. And there was an assistant pro there named Don. Don was about 6'5". He had this intimidating low voice, and he could hit a golf ball a mile. And Chris, I found working for Don, when he was supervising us pro shop workers, Don would drive us with like a withering kind of criticism. He'd bark out things like, hey, who strapped McInerney's clubs on the passenger side of the golf cart? Everybody knows Mac wants to drive. Or, hey, who forgot to write down Hartman's bucket of range balls? And when I would work for Don, I was always, under his critical gaze, I was always just tight and unconfident and slow-moving and just feared always making a mistake that would cost me some kind of a verbal lashing. But then in contrast, Chris, there was Tom. He was the caddy master, and Don was out playing golf somewhere. Tom would be our supervisor. And Tom would say instead things like, hey, how'd you get all those carts bagged and parked so fast? And I like the way you line them up along the sidewalk in formation. Kind of looks like F-16 fighter planes ready to fly off on a mission. So when I would work for Tom, I would find under his attaboys, I was loose, I was confident, I was creative, I was motivated to work by the anticipation of boosting praise for a good job, because I know Tom wouldn't miss the opportunity. And the question is, what kind of a father am I? Am I a Don-like father or a Tom-like father? And I needed to make some recalculations when my kids got into teenhood to be someone who was characterized by encouragement, to be able to give them even the drip irrigation of attaboys so they would be fruitful in their latter years as they were soon to leave my house.
We have one time for one final question. Another anonymous listener says, I have recently read Pastors and Their Critics, A Guide to Coping with Criticism in the Ministry by Dr. Joel Beakey and Nick Thompson. This book reminded me that I should be more frequently complimenting and encouraging my own pastor, because I'm sure it must be very discouraging in the ministry to hear criticism over and over again, and I know quite a number of backbiters. I was wondering what you thought of this book, if you are aware of it, and shouldn't we all be more in tune with the idea that our pastors are typically in urgent need of encouragement?
I highly recommend the book. Joel Beakey has an absolute bullseye with that book. Just think of how a lady makes a meal and spreads out the five courses, and nobody says anything. That's a pastor. He presents the ministry of the word. There's something to be commended somewhere on those plates. And I think, yeah, we ought to be doing unto others as we would ask them and have them to do unto us. Just in conclusion, Chris, what have I got? 2 or 3 minutes left?
Yes.
Okay, let me give the home stretch with the gospel as the ultimate encouragement. The fact of the matter is that different elements of personal life, of husbanding and wifing and parenting and pastoring and membering, we need to be giving encouragement. But that ultimate encouragement is the gospel. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That is the ultimate encouragement. The Lord Jesus Christ has given us the ultimate benefit of being blessed by the living God. The reality is that in our lives, we're always knocking on a door
because we want people to love us. We want people to commend us. We want people to esteem us. We want people to affirm us. But what happens in the gospel, we have this concept of he who knew no sin became sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We are the righteousness of God. We're dressed in the white linen. And just as the Heavenly Father looked on the Son in the Jordan River and said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased," we're wrapped up in Christ. You ever have a little child come out of the bathtub all soaking wet with his head, and you wrap him up in a beefy towel, and he's so cute, he's so huggable, you just want to eat him up? Well, in Christ, wrapped up in the beefy righteousness of Christ, we are delightful, and we are so pleasurable in the eyes of the Heavenly Father. And now, Chris, if the only two eyes in the universe that matter, the eyes of God, my Father in heaven, affirm me and love me and rejoice in me, now who cares what everybody else thinks? Their criticism doesn't kill me anymore, because the only two eyes in the universe that matter see me as adorable in his sight, in Christ Jesus. That's the ultimate encouragement, Chris. That's what will keep you from not just a momentary depression, but from an eternally depression. We won't be in outer darkness. We'll be in the kingdom with Christ in the Father's house forever.
Praise God. Well, as always, you have been such a joy and a blessing to interview, Pastor Chansky. I do want to let our guests, or should I say our listeners, know that Pastor Chansky will be returning to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio for another interview to discuss the mission of the Reformed Baptist Network. That's going to be on Tuesday, June 29th, God willing. And I want to, by the way, give all of our listeners the good news, our listeners that sent in questions, but for that matter, the good news that they have all won a free copy of the book that we are addressing, Encouragement, Adrenaline for the Soul. And please email me your full names and your full mailing addresses so that Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, can ship those books out to you. We want to thank Reformation Heritage Books for providing us with these free copies of Encouragement, Adrenaline for the Soul as our giveaways today. I want to remind you also that the website for the Harbor Reformed Baptist Church in Holland, Michigan, where my guest is the pastor, the website is harborchurchholland.org, harborchurchholland.org. And the website for the Reformed Baptist Network is reformedbaptistnetwork.com, reformedbaptistnetwork.com. Pastor Chansky, if you could just hold on the line for a moment, I'd like to give you a proper goodbye off the air. And I want to thank all of you for listening, and I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.